Hello everyone, this is your boy Scarfinger. And before I actually get started on this show, I think I owe you, anyone listening, a little bit of an explanation. I think this is the closest thing that I've ever had podcast-wise that was just more of a labor of love than anything else. I have been totally into the sing-off. I've watched a bunch of clips and stuff like that in the past. Actually, you know what? Let me start from the beginning. I never heard of the sing-off until one day when I got linked to a Pentatonix video. And then I watched their performances from the sing-off. They won season 3 of the sing-off. And after then, you know, I was interested in the show, but not necessarily, I didn't necessarily want to go all the way back. I was just really kind of into Pentatonix at the time. And so I watched a couple of clips from other performances and things of that nature, but never felt the need to want to go back and watch it all. So I said to myself at the time that if there was another season, because it's been 2 years since Pentatonix has won the competition. They won season 3. I don't know if I said that already. I probably have. There's been a lot of time in between that season and the current season that just happened. It happened over a couple weeks leading up to Christmas Day recently. So I watched that, and I was extremely into that. Just kind of invested in the whole thing, because I got to see the whole process from beginning to end, which I hadn't done before. That led me to actually want to start over and watch the previous shows. Now, it's a little bit odd because you're watching a show that's a competition, but you already know who won. You already know who won the competition, so it's a little bit odd, the idea of going back and watching a show like this. So basically, I'm not watching just to see who's going to win. I'm watching to see who lost and why they lost, which is still a great, it's still a great time for me. That is, I've watched it all. I went back and I started at season 1, and I've watched it all. I have not watched season 4 again, but I mean, all of this stuff is pretty much on my iPod, and I've listened to the performances quite a bit, including on my recent trip to Maryland, on my way back and forth, which was a 3-hour trip. I pretty much only listened to the sing off and just singing my ass off. Pun intended. I was singing my ass off in the car, the whole way, and it just kept me entertained. Like I said, it's a little bit odd going back, and you're just waiting to see who messed up in order to give the winners the win. You know, at this point, with the exception of me watching season 4, everything else I knew who won. And even to the point to where as I had looked on Wikipedia, and Wikipedia tells you like the top 3. So like when I'm watching, especially watching season 2 and season 3, seeing the battle, because the battle became a lot closer in season 2 and 3. Looking back on season 4, it was pretty evident who was going to win. I was emotionally invested in another group, but it seemed pretty obvious who was going to win that. And in season one, the winner of season one, Noda, was seemed to be far and away better than everybody else in the competition. So it seemed like a foregone conclusion. I think season three was the only one where you just had no idea who was really going to win, because there were some really good groups there, and the battle that I'll get to when it's time to start talking about season three. But you know, you could tell just from the openings and stuff like that where the battle lines were going to be drawn, and those battle lines was basically Michael versus Scott. There didn't really seem to be there didn't seem that there was going to be any other outcome of who was going to be at the top of season three. But I'll get to that when it's time. So like I said, I started over from season one, and I just wanted to do these shows because even though I started listening to AfterBuzz, search AfterBuzz the Sing Off. AfterBuzz the Sing Off is a really good podcast about the Sing Off, but is a little bit different because they were, you know, a couple of the people in that podcast were in these kind of groups before. So they look at it from a completely different perspective than someone like me. I look at it from more of a layman's point of view. To me, it's who sounded good and who was entertaining. And, you know, not necessarily like, you know, I don't do a whole lot of dwelling over the songs. Like, you know, some people who are in these groups was like, I sang that song in my group and they just did it, you know, this way, that way, or the third. And, you know, they feel how they feel about it based off of their own, experiences. And I don't have such experiences, so I can just enjoy the music for what it is, and enjoy the performances for what they are. So, like I said, I'm really into it right now, and I decided that, you know, what better way to be able to, you know, it's hard to find people to talk about this stuff to. So I've just figured I'd talk to y'all. Fuck it. Like, I don't really have a choice. I didn't necessarily want to do the show by myself, but it is what it is. I'm here now. And so I'm just going to talk about, the Sing Off. So, as far as the name of the show, I went through a few different names, and I went through a few different ways of why I wanted to, how I wanted to do the show. I wanted to make a kind of an inside joke based off of something that Ben said, and called the show the Bilabial Plosive Show, which only people who watch the show will completely understand what bilabial plosives are. Basically, as Ben would say, it just means you went puh really loud. And that was going to be part of the joke. But, you know, I just think that was just too long of a title for the show. So I was just thinking about the idea of someone singing well. And, you know, what would you say to someone that's singing well? And, you know, I immediately thought about, like, the people I know, and, you know, how the layman feels about music. And you know, that's pretty much what this is how a layman, me, feels about the sing off. So I just came up with the you better sing, like, you know, because that's the thing, you know, when somebody is singing well, it's like, you better, you know, that idea, you better sing. So, that's going to be the name of the show. You better sing. So yeah, with that, I'm going to start over from the beginning of season one, and I'm going to separate it in I'm going to separate it how the show is separated, where the first episode of this of the show they did four performances, then one elimination, and then the other four, and then another elimination. So I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to talk about the first four performances and the first elimination. So yeah, I think I'm going to throw in a little clip. I may throw in a clip of the intro. I think that's probably the best thing to do, is to throw in a clip of the intro, where the entire of all of the groups, the entire show, did Under Pressure by David Bowie and Queen. So now on to episode one of the sing-off, and the first half of episode one of the sing-off, and it's going to start with a confession. I did not like Under Pressure as an opener at all. I didn't dig the song. I don't know if it was just the arrangement, or, you know, it was, you know, it's the very first song, and I feel like when it's the first song, you really should be trying to put your best foot forward, that type of thing. But it just didn't work for me. It really didn't work for me at all. Especially, the middle of the song where everything kind of calms down. I mean, well, first of all, like, you can't hear Under Pressure and not think Ice Ice Baby. Which is a problem. It's a problem for everyone with the exception of Vanilla Ice, you know, because of that added note. If you've never seen the video of him saying why, that wasn't a ripoff of Under Pressure, it's the most hilarious thing ever, because all it did was just added one note, and now he's saying it's completely different because of that one note. And, you know, other than the Ice Ice Baby thing, the middle of the song where it just kind of backs off, where all of the background just kind of backs off, and then, of course, they let the chick from the black group. I haven't gotten to them yet, so I haven't wrote their name down, but I think they're from Omaha. They just basically gave, you know, of course, they just let, they let a lot, you know, in these openers, they let the leads from these groups really get, you know, they just let the leads get some burn, you know? And it just didn't work for me at all. And in the middle of that, when everything just kind of calms down, and they let that chick from the Omaha, I guess from Omaha or Oklahoma City or some, so it began with an O, I believe. I ain't got to them yet. I ain't got to them again, yet, but I will, because, they're terrible. But they just let her get some burn, and I just didn't like it at all. I think the middle of that performance, the song just died. Another thing, I felt like the song was way too long. You know, usually, you know, they try to have enough time to get all of the groups a little bit of burn, but I just thought this, I thought the Under Pressure lasted way too long. I thought the middle of the song died, and I just didn't think it was a good choice. If this is going to be the first performance that people are going to see of this show, period, I just thought it was not a very good choice. And it just didn't work for me, but, you know, I guess, you know, it didn't really, I don't think it really changed anything really for anyone else. It just wasn't a favorite of mine. So the very first performance was, Noda, who, of course is the winners for the season. And they did I'm Yours. I wouldn't say it was the best start. I think this is a reoccurring theme for just this first season. Like I guess everything was just new, and trying to figure out your way through this competition. Like a lot of groups, you know, in all of the seasons, they get better as the time goes on. Like the people who are good enough to stick around, they get so, you know, the group that starts off, if you last a few episodes, the group that you were in the first episode and the group that you are in the fourth episode are not necessarily the same group. And, you know, even though Noda wins this thing, I just, you know, It was not my favorite performance, and I would say probably none of these performances I would say is my favorite from any of these groups, honestly. But of course, it seems very obvious that David was a star. You know, even though Luda kind of closed the song out, and then they had their breakdown. A lot of the first part of the song, I don't know whether it was me or they just seemed like they were out of breath a little bit. or, you know, maybe it was a little bit of the nervousness taken a little bit away from the sound, in my opinion. And I listened to it, you know, in preparation for this show, I listened to it on my TV with an actual sound system instead of just going by the TV speakers, just so I had a better, better sound for me to judge by. You know, it worked. In keeping with a thing that I noticed in season 4, there was notice from Puerto Rico, and there's another Puerto Rican group in season 4, Calle Sol, and I think Calle Sol tried to recreate a little bit of the note of magic, and they just couldn't. And one of the things that I think Calle Sol missed out on is what Nota's strengths are. Nota's strengths are a lie in the fact that they always add a little bit of their flavor, or the Puerto Rico flavor to each of the songs that they perform, but they nail the song first before they take the risks. You know, and I think that's where Calle Sol failed. You know, I mean, among other things when it comes to Calle Sol in season 4. But yeah, the arrangement was great. I'm pretty sure if, you know, you ask them to do that now, it's going to be much better. But as for the very first performance of the show, I thought it was very good. And, you know, it was, I thought it was by far the best way to start the show. Like, I don't think the producers of the show are stupid, because when you think about the shows and how they're structured, you have very, very few bad performances to start these shows, because no matter how you look at it, it's still a television show. And if you don't get people's attention at the beginning, you know, a lot of people are just not going to stick around. So I don't think the producers were stupid. So they got Nota in so that Nota can do their thing and keep people's interest. I thought it was a solid performance. It seemed very obvious that it was just new. But I liked it, but I like some of the other performances better, and we'll get to that in later episodes. Voices of Lee did Unwritten. First of all, I didn't really know the song very much, except for there's a commercial that uses the song, the original song. So that's the only thing I really know. I think, you know, it's like a commercial for like herbal essences or some shit like that. Like, I don't really know. It's not even a commercial for something for me. But it's just, you know, you've seen the commercials, and, you know, I don't really know the song very well, but, I thought they had a really good sound, but the song just took way too long to get started. You know, it was really cool, but it took too long to get started. And another thing that's gonna be a big issue, especially for the first season, is the mix. The balance of the sound of the lead and the people behind the leads, it doesn't seem to be mixed quite right, especially when you have especially large groups that use headset mics. I notice in later seasons the headset mics start to go away, very much they really just start going away. And I think part of that is the ability to move the microphone away from your mouth in order to lessen the sound a bit. I think that comes into play a lot later, especially when you start dealing with these college groups that have like you know, 14, 15 people on stage, it's really hard to get, you know, it's really hard to get 12 people that are singing to be quiet enough for that one person to sing. If you're all wearing headset mics that you can't move away from your mouth a little bit, you know, you still got to sing your part in order to, you know, to help the sound and, you know, to help the song move along. But when you can't move the mic away from your mouth, that causes problems. And even though they weren't using headset, even though Voices of Lee were not using headset mics, that still was a problem to me. And she just didn't have a loud voice. I noticed that in this, in their arrangement, they had very, very little, I guess you'd call it vocal percussion. There's just a tiny bit of percussion. But I thought, as a song, I don't think it's them, because some of the other stuff that they've done that I've seen them do has been pretty good. The song just didn't keep me interested. Watching them perform the song is what kept me interested. If I'm listening to songs on my iPod, I usually skip this because I don't really care for the song at all. But, you know, watching them perform it, that's what kept me interested in the song. It was a good start for them, but, you know, there were some things that they needed to work on, and obviously they were able to work on. I believe they came in, you know, Voices of Lee came in third place, so obviously they worked on what they needed to, and they got that shit right. Face did Living on a Prayer. I think really the most poignant note that I had was just in the package, which the package becomes very important sometimes. And in later seasons, the package becomes really important because, you know, they're kind of raising or lowering their expectations in the package so that you pretty much view the performance differently because of the package. The packages in this episode is really the About Me package and not necessarily About the Song package. The About the Song package is usually where they can raise or lower the expectations of the performance and you feel a certain way about it. You know, it really does affect how you hear it. You know, when, you know, you watch the package and they're performing and somebody's sick or somebody's crying. And what you do is as soon as the performance happens, like you're listening for the sickness instead of, you know, just being open to the possibilities of what the song is supposed to provide, that type of thing. So that's when I say the packages really affect how you hear. They really affect how you hear these things. In the package, the one guy described Face as a wall of sound, and my note was no. That was pretty much what my notes were. No. This is probably, for the first part of this episode, this was the big problem with the mix. They pretty much what was going on with the background, they completely drowned out the singer. His voice wasn't strong enough. He wasn't good enough. The idea that they call themselves a vocal band instead of an a cappella group really marred their performance. I don't think their harmonies were good enough. And I thought there should have been more opportunities to harmonize, but Face decided that instead of going that way, they were going to go we're going to emulate the music as closely as we can, emulate the instruments as closely as we can, and then, you know, in the ending and just have this guy sing, but he just wasn't good enough. I wish there was more harmony. I wish there was a little bit more togetherness. It just didn't gel. It didn't work for me. I just couldn't get into it at all. And also to choose such an iconic song as Living on a Prayer. Like, seriously, like the idea of choosing Living on a Prayer as this is the song that, you know, you choose Living on a Prayer. You have to nail that shit. You have to. You don't have a choice. It's Living on a fucking Prayer, dude. Like, I'm gonna tell you, Living on a Prayer is such an iconic song that Scott, you know, my podcast partner, Scott, my podcast hetero life mate, Scott, you know, Scott is probably the closest, thing to someonehood that I know in this podcasting thing. Like this, the idea, you know, I joke about Scott all the time, like, you know, about, you know, him not being able to say the N-word, but he's more closer to the N-word than I ever would be, with the exception of our skin color. Like, he's closer to it than me. And he can't resist belting out Living on a Prayer as loud as he possibly can whenever we play Rock Band. Even he can't do it. He can't resist. He can't resist at all. So, like, in this case, you say you're going to sing Living on a Prayer. You're going to have to nail that shit. And they did not. They did the absolute opposite. So, yeah, the lead wasn't good enough. The tall, bald guy hit the high note in the song. And I went, well, why the fuck isn't he singing? Seriously, like, why isn't he singing? Like, why is this guy singing? It just didn't make any sense at all. Let's see, what else did I have? I love the fact that you can usually tell who's doing well and who's not doing well and who's gonna go home by what the judges actually say. Like, you pretty much have to read between the lines of the judges. And the dagger for them, I mean, I guess I'm spoiling it, but fuck it, it's old. But Sean basically said, if you guys are back, then I would expect this blank, 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 fill in a blank. But he said, if you guys are back, like, basically said that shit, like, nah, I don't think that's gonna happen. So that was pretty much the kiss of death. But, you know, we still have one more group. Noteworthy, the chicks from BYU. Of course, there are, the lead from Noteworthy, Amy, it ends up being the lead in Delilah from season 3. There's another lady from Noteworthy that ends up in Delilah also. And then the beatboxer from Noteworthy ends up being in the backbeats in season 2. I thought it was a good song choice. Like, they did Think by Aretha Franklin, from, you know, she did in the Blues Brothers, you know, that type of thing. This was the first time that, you know, we got the whole all girl groups are doomed idea. Like, pretty much in this competition specifically, all girl groups are doomed. Like, I don't think there's gonna ever be an all female group that's gonna win this thing. I don't think that's gonna happen. And part of the reason, you know, they talk about the females not having the range, as, you know, for people who are not musically inclined, you know, a man, you know, of course he can sing lower notes, but also when he needs to go high, a man can sing in falsetto and hit really high notes by singing in falsetto, but there isn't an equivalent for a woman to sing in, I guess, whatever you call the opposite of a falsetto, to go lower. So there's always going to be that thing where the female groups can't get low enough. I think the only, you know, female in this whole competition is Joe from, you know, Joe, is the bass singer for, Delilah and what the hell is the group name in season 4 with the all chicks? Element. Yes. Joe, you know, she's the closest, but when she's by herself and she has to do all of the bass by herself, you still don't have anybody in the baritone range to fill in that space. And one thing you notice while you know, when you start really getting into the minutiae of the sing-off, you realize that baritone range fills so much sound that you have to, you know, you have to account for that when it's time for you to judge this thing. Like, if that part of it is missing, it's really noticeable when you start comparing these groups. And it seems very obvious how important the low end is, especially in the opening numbers. In the opening numbers where it's just a bunch of people and it's that wall of sound. It's really that mid low it really carries these songs. You know, one of the biggest examples of an opening number where the baritones and that low end and that middle that really carries a song is in season 3 when they did "The Way You Make Me Feel." Like, that middle really carries that song, and it would not work if you didn't have that there. And that's always going to be the problem with female groups, is they just don't have that middle. And especially when, on the parts where, the freedom parts, or the freedom, that part, it sounds really screechy. And when you're listening on a sound system or on headphones, you have to back away from your speakers if you have it loud enough, because it sounds so terrible. And then, you know, and you know, knowing how good of a singer, being someone who's watched it all, like, knowing how good of a singer Amy is and stuff like that, when your background sounds that bad, you know, you can't really expect to be on the show very long. And yeah, we'll get to that in, I think, episode 2. But yeah, so we have, so out of those four, of course, Noda is the first one that's safe. And surprisingly Noteworthy is the second one that's safe. I guess you just realize that, you know, they are really good, but they really need to control the screech. And then, you know, it's basically down to Voices of Lee versus Face. But, you know, someone who already knows who wins, like, you already know that Voices of Lee come in third. So, yeah, that means Face got to go. And you know what? Face deserved to go. They were terrible. Like, they just weren't very good. And then, Face... And the other group that doesn't survive this episode makes you really ask the question of, how did they make it here in the first place? Like, I can't answer that question. Like, Face was just, they weren't very good at all. Like, how many groups didn't make it? How many groups didn't make it and Face did? Yeah, so Face had to sing "Home," I think is by Daltrey, as their swan song. And one thing you notice with these swan songs is the swan songs are usually your best performance, especially for people who are out of the game pretty early. I guess your swan song is the thing that you always have to make sure that you have practiced, because you could go home at any time. So you probably practice that a little bit more than the song that you're performing this week. So, you know, a lot of people's swan song sounds better than the other songs that they perform, with the exception of a few, and I'm gonna say that this one is the one of the exceptions. This doesn't sound very good either, and it's very obvious why they should be going home. So, yeah, that's the first part. That's the first part of the episode. Shit, I almost talked a half an hour on just that. Damn. But yeah, that's the first part of the first episode of the sing off. I'm gonna play a clip or two. Of course, I'm playing just maybe my favorite performance out of this section. That's gonna become really hard to do. I may do the top two because I don't want to just post all of Noda's performances, because that's pretty much what it's going to be, because it was very obvious Noda was pretty much better than all of the other groups here. But yeah, I'm going to take a break before I talk about the other half. And yeah, clips. Holla.
Done me and you bet I felt it. Tried to be chill, you so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks, and now I'm trying to get back. Before the cool done run out, I'm giving it my bestest. Nothing's gonna stop me but divine intervention. I reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some, but I won't hesitate no more, no more. I cannot wait.
Well, open up your mind and feel like me. Open up your plans and damn, you're free. Look into your heart and you'll find love, 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 love. Listen to the music of a moment, maybe sing with me. A love, peaceful melody. It's a God-forsaken love to be loved, love, 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 love. So I won't hesitate no more, no more. I cannot wait.
Open up the dirty window, let the sun illuminate the words that you cannot find. Reaching for something in the distance, so close you can almost taste it. Release your inhibitions, feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it for you, only you can let it in. No one else, no one else can speak the words on your lips. Stretch yourself, their words unspoken. Live your life. Today is where your book begins. The rest is still unwritten. Staring at the blank page before you. Open up the dirty window. Let the sun illuminate the words that you cannot find. Reaching for something in the distance. So close you can almost taste it. Release your inhibition. Yeah.
back with Scarcasm Live's You Better Sing, which is a show about the sing-off. If you're just tuning in, I am talking about the sing-off episode 1 and going to recap the second half, which is probably my favorite half. Not in a good way. Alright, so we've been through four acts and then Face got sent home. So we got four more acts. First up in the second half of the show was the Beelzebubs. The Bubs are is another one of the college groups. So they did the Magical Mystery Tour by the Beatles. I guess the song itself didn't really work for me because it's pretty well known that I'm not really a Beatles fan. Two, I just didn't know the song at all. Even when you're not a Beatles fan, there's still some Beatles songs that you know, or Beatles songs that were covered by somebody else that you've heard and you go, oh, that's the Beatles. All right, cool. But Magical Mystery Tour is not a song that I knew. I think this is another instance of the headset mics really fucking up the mix. The leads of the song constantly got drowned in the middle of when everybody was singing. And I think this is a problem with the college groups in general until pretty much the Dartmouth airs in season 3. A lot of the college groups, you know, when it's really going, you know, the leads usually get buried in all of those voices. But I think the headset mics really messed up the mix. Even though I didn't know the song, I thought it was entertaining, and I love how the college groups, more than any of the other groups, they really worked the stage. I know Rashani tried to say it was due to the movie Pitch Perfect, but I believe seasons 1, 2, and 3 came out before Pitch Perfect, so there's that. I thought it was entertaining, good use of the stage. The song just didn't do anything for me at all because I didn't know it, and it wasn't really an interesting song. I thought what they did, like, you know, making the bus out of people. Could you call it a bus? Yeah, I guess I would call it a bus or a van or whatever you want to call it, out of people, putting a guy on his shoulders and he was pretending to drive. I thought that was really interesting. I'm guessing it was a good song choice, but you know, I don't really know the music, so I'm just gonna pass on that. I thought it was a good performance. I was entertained by it, but me not connecting with the song at all kind of took me away from it a bit. Next we had Max Vector, which is a barbershop quartet of females from Baltimore, and you know, in all of the other seasons, you have the old man group. And in season 1, they're the old woman group. You know what? They did Dancing Queen, I believe it's by ABBA. ABBA? Yeah, I believe it's ABBA. I'm not gonna lie, I really liked it a lot. Those barbershop harmonies, it's just something about those harmonies that just really worked well. And where, The headset mics that they used, I believe, was a gift and a curse. It really helped when they were harmonizing, but it hurt them when, I believe her name is Leslie, was singing the lead. She kind of got buried. And of course, the lady who sings bass, I can't think of, what's her name? Crap, I didn't write her name down. But the lady who sings bass, it was a lot of focus on her because as the bass, she should be playing the back, but the headset mic really kept her at the same level as everybody else. So headset mics fucking up the mix, but you know, she stood out to me Above the rest of the group, she is the one that stands out, and she's also the one that's the really kind of the sassier one, and she's really the kind of one that's like really into the moving around and the dancing and stuff like that. One thing I did really like about Max Factor, and which I like about them, it's a thing that goes on with the old man group. I mean, even though this is a bunch of older ladies, this is still, you know, this season they're the old man group. And what I really liked is just you can tell they've been doing this and they've been handling business and they were extremely professional. Like, really, really professional. And I thought the arrangement of the song really helped them, I guess you can call it, accentuate their positives. The harmonies that they used, especially like right out of the gate, they hit you with those harmonies right out of the gate as soon as the song started. So there was no bones about it. Their harmonies were off the chain. And that barbershop style really, was prevalent throughout the arrangement. And I really liked it a lot. I think it was one of my favorite performances of this episode. Now let's get to my actual favorite performance of this episode, which was the SoCal's Somebody to Love. I didn't have a whole lot of notes for Somebody to Love. And it's a song by Queen. The SoCals, who are from are alums from the SoCal Vocals from USC, which I found out later that Scott from Pentatonix is a SoCal Vocal alum. Also, I think one of the ladies from the SoCals ends up in Delilah also. And I don't think I said it earlier, but also I believe her name is Candace from Voices of Lee is in Delilah also. Delilah, season three. We'll get to that in season three. I didn't write a whole lot of notes for this. I just thought they nailed it. And Dan, even though he's kind of nerdy, he gave off a very Clay Aiken vibe. I really liked his voice, and it's like almost every time they perform, it's almost like musical theater. What they're able to do with their staging and their movements and stuff like that. It's not a lot of dancing. It's just working the stage. And I really dig how they work the stage. There's a few groups, they're like, we're not dancers, so we're just gonna work the stage. And that's pretty much how they got through it all. I mean, think about it. Pentatonix didn't really dance a lot. It was not a whole lot of dancing. They just knew how to work the dynamics of the stage. Pentatonix was more of a start at the back, and when the song builds and you get to that crescendo, you move forward like you're pushing the song forward while moving forward. Also, they kind of had that dynamic going. But I just thought the SoCals really knew how to work the stage, and like I said, every time they perform, it's almost like musical theater. And they always have very great performances. I didn't have a whole lot for them because Solo. All right. I don't know if I should do a moment of silence for Solo. it's gonna be really hard to try to get through this without really rolling on the floor laughing at Solo. Like literally rolling on the floor laughing at Solo. Okay. Solo is a group of minority youngins. I'm guessing they're youngins. They all seem pretty young. From Omaha. And then the package really makes you feel sorry for them. Like, you know, the one chick is talking about like being on the sing-off is something that would never happens to people like them and people from where they're from. And, you know, the one girl didn't have a place to sleep, and the one dude got arrested for stealing food. And, you know, I'm like, how the hell did they get that footage of him in jail? They was like, they had him go back to the jail and put that shit back on, and then they just filmed him walking up and down the fence. I was like, that's bullshit. I'd be mad as shit if they were like, oh, so you was in jail? We need to get some footage of that. Do you mind putting this shit back on so we can get some footage of you walking by this fence real quick? Like, I'd be mad as fuck, yo. Be like, man, I just got out of jail. I don't want to go back to this bitch. So I found that to be hilarious. But it really, you know, seeing where they came from really makes you feel a little bit for them. You really do. There's no way that you can see what the circumstances that they're trying to come up from and not feel anything. So that, you know, kind of made you feel a little bit bad for them until they started singing. First of all, I think it was a terrible song choice. Terrible, horrible, no good, very bad song choice. Their harmonies were bad. Like, they were really bad. The background vocals of the song, I guess, like, whoever arranged this for them, or the arranging that they did for themselves, was like, who thought this was a good idea? So instead of going the choral approach, or the normal a cappella approach. I never heard the real song before, but I'm guessing that the background must have been trying to recreate the background of the song, because under no circumstance would any musical director of any kind would suggest that while the leads are singing, that you're in the background going, instead of just singing. Like, why the fuck would you do that? It makes no sense at all. Like, what happened to just hitting your ahs? Like, do that. You don't have to go, like, that's stupid. That is dumb. I don't know if it's a part of the song. Is some song from it's like Mean What You Say or What You Say or whatever the fuck by some Jason Derulio or whatever. I've heard the name before, but I don't really listen to that type of music. So you got me on that. So I didn't really know this song. So I'm only guessing that they thought that they were going to recreate the song, and that was a terrible choice, because the it was like, can you please stop that? Something like, seriously, somebody in practice, when someone came up with that idea, someone should have just walked up, slapped them on the wrist and said, stop that. Like, really, don't do that. Seriously, don't do that. It just made no sense. And it is the most fucking annoying thing ever. I think as a group, they weren't that bad. As Ben said, even though each of the judges were so nice, but they all gave them that little kiss of death. Like, yeah, I'm gonna need you to be better. They all kind of said something to that effect. But they all said that they liked the performance, which we all know that that was a lie, because no one that heard thought that was fucking good. Sorry, nobody did. The soloists, some of them were actually pretty good. Some of them were better than others. I think they should have focused, because they kind of gave each of them, with the exception of If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, with the exception of the beatboxer, actually, nope, because he did the intro. He did introducer, like that bullshit. He did that. So each of them got their own part of the song, and then they just kind of took turns singing lead. No, somebody should have took the reins of this shit, because, I mean, okay, I can't really judge them too harshly, because we've seen how this, well, I'm judging them based off of everything that I've seen, and I've seen it all, you know, all of the seasons of the sing-off. So I'm judging them a little bit harshly based off of what I've seen. Somebody should have grabbed the reins of this thing and decided that they were not just going to give everybody their shine. Like, everybody don't need their shine. Like, we need to put our best foot forward, and our best foot forward is focusing on these two or something like that, you know, like focusing on these two people. I think that probably would have worked out a little bit better for them. Also, I think the fact that their harmonies were not very good. Well, they were not very compelling. And sonically, they were not sonically compelling. I think it was, I think they needed a stronger bass, a stronger music bass. And I think that music bass, if you're in their situation, that bass of your music should have came from like a choir, like a choir director, or somebody at church that knows their music, that will help you. Or maybe a choir director at school or something like that. You know, like those guys who got voted off. I think it was season two, or it could be season two or three. Those guys, those jocks that they had a, you know, they had a really good sound, but they were just being helped by their high school choir director. And even though I didn't think that they were that bad, they just weren't good enough for the competition. But I thought that what they did was, you know, what they did was good. I guess I'll get to that when I get to that episode of whichever season that is. But I think that that's what they needed. They needed somebody that knew about music and could get them straight chorally, because chorally is what was going to make what was going to push them forward and make them a better group. Yeah, they just needed they needed a different music base. And if you're really trying that hard to get out of Omaha or wherever you're from, I think you need to look into any kind of help that you can get. And if you're doing a group thing like an a cappella group, you're going to need someone musically to tighten up your sound, and to make sure that not just tighten up your sound, but just make sure that you guys sing together and that your harmonies sound good. You feel bad for them because of the package, but in the end, this is probably the very first group, like, even though Face wasn't good, you could see how Face would have ended up on the show. I didn't think Face were that good, but I know how they ended up on the show. I wonder how the fuck did Solo end up on this show? Like, who thought that they deserved to be on national TV? And it could be a few things. It could very much be a terrible song choice. It could be very much, you know, nerves, and all of that other stuff. But at the end of it, no one should have put them on national TV. They put them on national TV. It was embarrassing, honestly. And I think I would have felt the same. You know, if I was watching this at the time, I think I still would have felt the same. It was embarrassing to put them on national TV in the way that they were. I wonder, you know, how many of them stayed together over these years. And, you know, I really, you know, I guess the only group really to really learn how to work the internet really was Pentatonix. Like, they really learned how to work the internet beyond the TV show. And you see some of these other groups doing it, like Voice Play and stuff like that. But Pentatonix really knew how to work the internet and to get their stuff out there. And millions of people have seen it, you know, as opposed to, you know. So I wonder how many of these groups, one, are still together, and two, still doing music, because you could really get out there and, you know, you can really do it now on the internet, but you didn't have that option back then. So I wonder if they're still together, or if any of them are still singing together and trying to, you know, still trying to up, get themselves out of, I wonder if they ever made it out of the city. You know, is old boy that was locked up still, you know, free? You know, that type of thing. You know, it just makes me think about where, you know, I would love to, where are they now, the sing-off. I know of, you know, a couple people from past seasons actually put out some music. And I know for a fact that, you know, Amy from Noteworthy and eventually Delilah, you know, she ended up on another show. I think she ended up on The X Factor or some shit like that, you know? You know, it would be really interesting to see what these people did after the sing-off. And, you know, yeah. All right, so, of course, it's no surprise at all that Solo got voted off. And probably the most, if you're evil, and you have if you have evil in your heart, like some of us do, probably the most visually and sonically delicious swan song. They had to stop crying enough to sing "I Will Survive," which was the best swan song. Because, you know, like some people's swan songs pretty much fall into two categories. The one is, oh, you know, this is the song that they worked on a lot, because this is the one song that they have to carry with them every week, not knowing if they're going to be voted off or not. And then there's the, oh, okay, that's why you got voted off song. I don't know if I Will Survive would have been that bad if they weren't crying. But the fact that they were crying made this the best swan song ever. And I will keep it on my iPod just because of that. It is visually and sonically delicious for evil people. And I guess I'm an evil person. Yeah, I think so. Because I just delight in watching them sing this every single time. And it is so evil. But you know what? Fuck it. All right, so I can't help it. It just makes me smile. All right, so the end of the episode is them singing "I Will Survive." I will play a couple of clips and then I'll be back to close out the show.
You are the dancing queen.
Friends, is episode one of You Better Sing, which is a episode about episode one of the sing-off. A few shout-outs. Yeah, I'm going to do shout-outs. I'm really terrible about doing shout-outs. That's why I don't normally do them, but I figured I have to throw out a few. Shout-out to the folks that I get to talk sing-off with, mostly Rashani. And then shout out to Nick Jew, shout out to Meef J, shout out to MPP, who gets to listen to me riff about this all day, every day. She's the one that says I'm obsessed, but she's also the one that didn't want to do the show with me. Damn it. Shout out to her. Shout out to my GGR Kim folks. Go out there, check out the shows. I know Enthused Life will be back soon. Check out Aaron and the fellows over there at Game Enthused. Check out some of my other Kim folk, man. Kevo and Montoyas, birthday twin over there at Beating the Block. I'm really terrible about actually shouting out my folks. Of course the incomparable Rod and Karen at the Black Guy Who Tips. My man Phenom Black, Where's My 40 Acres, and the rest of the crew over there, Where's My 40 Acres. I watched a video that he put up of him playing Bioshock. And you know something? He was playing Bioshock 1, and I sat there and watched that whole video. I think it's like a half an hour, or close to it. And I sat there and watched that whole fucking video like I haven't finished the game twice already. Shout out to my man Phenom and the crew over there, Where's My 40 Acres. I know that there's a whole lot more to name, especially Blue and Ace and my folk over there at Open Forum Radio. Vic and Mr. Matt over there at the 40 cast. There's just a lot of people to name. As my man Q, Shout out to Q and Sam over there at Geeks with Color. But as my man Q would always says, man, if I forgot you, blame it on the head, not the heart. I mean, all of y'all are my folks, and I fox with y'all. So I hope that the majority of you made it this far, because I know it's just me talking about an old ass show, but it is something that I'm really into, and I really enjoy doing this. I just wish I wasn't doing it by myself. So with that said, I am going to close the show with both swan songs, including I Will Survive. With that said, this is episode one of You Better Sing, talking about episode one of The Sing Off, and I'll be back with episode two. I don't know if I've always hated that whole numbering the episodes like that. I think I'm just gonna talk, based off of which episode of The Sing Off or whatever that I'm doing. I think that's probably better. But okay, I think I've talked too much, so I'm just going to say thank you to everybody who listens. I appreciate you. Y'all been rocking with your boy for years. Shit, it's almost 4 years I've been doing this. So y'all been rocking with your boy for years, and I appreciate you all. It's your boy Scarfinger. Peace.
Staring out into the night, trying to hide the pain. Oh, I'm going home to the place where I belong. Love has always been enough for me. Not running from, no, I think you got me. Love that chose me, and these places and these faces are getting warm. So I'm going home.
First, I was afraid, I was petrified. Never thought that I could ever live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights just thinking how you did me wrong. But I grew strong. I learned how to live alone.